In this Ephesian letter, it is true that our goal is God. It's really God, that it's not just joy or peace or blessing or anything just like that. It's God. But nevertheless, he has been pleased to give us joy and peace and blessing. Hallelujah. That we need not be in any other state but that constantly whilst we're on the earth. And this is the thrill and the joy of it. I've been away down in the southwest corner of England, a little lower down than where I live sometimes. And I met a young man there. And he came to me at the end of a series of meetings when God had been really blessing in a most wonderful way. And he said he wanted to disagree with me. And he told me where he disagreed with me. Because I'd been preaching on glory. I'd been preaching on it for about 5 days. And I must tell you, I've been living in the glory. And lots of other people came into it too. But you see, he came and he said he didn't believe that you should seek anything at all. I won't tell you to what general classification of believers he belonged in the two main divisions of truth. He said he thought it was only right to seek him. Nothing else. Him. And anyway, you couldn't have glory as a state on earth. And so on and so on and so on. And here was a dear young man, as sincere as he was high, solid through on all the fundamental truths, and even able to minister in the gifts of the Spirit, but thought it was wrong to have to seek glory, you see. And so on. And you know, beloved, this is all part of a great deception. That we are not only to have God, but bless him, we have all that he is and all that's in him. Amen. And this is then the great and wonderful thrill of really belonging to the Lord. So that we don't put on a martyr's mask, if you know what that is. I would think really the martyr's face shines with the glory. I mean, when I think of Stephen, for instance, and how they looked on him and his face was so radiant, this man who wasn't seeking then to feel anything, but shone out with what he really was. And that's what you do. It comes right out of your face what you are, you see. It shines on you in some way or another. And this young man, Stephen, he was just full of God. And when it came to the crunch, as we say, when it really came to the point, he just radiated what he was within. I hope you had a look in the glass this morning to see what you look like. I hope you did. And I hope you're telling by the sort of reaction you get off other people what they feel you're like too. That's what it's all about. You know that, don't you? And this then is the wonder of God's greatness. In this Ephesian letter, I know we were there last night, but then we could stop here all today and all tomorrow and so on and so on and so on. It's so full and abundant with the greatness of God. Look at, for instance, at the end of the first chapter. It says in verse 23 that his body, the church, if you like to get the end of verse 22, is his body and the fullness of him. Now, inside that skin that I'm looking at now, that's called you, it's full of something, that skin, it's inside there. It's all full of something. It's full of flesh and bone and, all sorts of things inside. Lungs and hearts and kidneys and, that's your fullness. If you hadn't got that in there, you'd be empty. That's right. That's your fullness. Now, this then is the glory of what the Lord is telling us, that the church is Jesus' fullness. It's what he is comprised of. That's right. Let it sink in. Now, I dare say that Jesus Christ is not full of misery and gloom and darkness. I dare say that. I don't know what you dare say. I dare say that he's not full of this sort of grim, martyr-like determination that makes you go through. I know that people tell us that he set his face like a flint to go toward Calvary, but we're only told that once. He wasn't always looking like a man who had toothache. Praise his marvelous name. This is the joy. Let's come to sanity. What was Jesus Christ like inside? Well, you're a part of that. That's right. The body is his fullness. Oh, what a tremendous thrill this is. You know, I've been having a good meditation in this for about an hour before I came here. My wife asked me where I'd been. I'd been meditating. That's the whole point. It doesn't particularly matter where you go to meditate, as long as you meditate. And this is the glory and wonder of this, beloved, that we are his fullness. Think of it. Think of the sweetness of it. The glory of everything being integrated and radiant in perfect health of spirit. Think of it. Nothing wrong with him. Not a gloom or a grumble anywhere. Nothing malfunctioning. Everything wonderful. Praise the name of the Lord. So that if I say to you now, how are you, brother? You ought to be able to say, I'm wonderful, thank you. Wonderful. It's glorious. Amen. This is it. This then is the great paradox. This is the great glory of it. That you get hold of a man like Paul and Silas and sling them in prison and they sing all night. They don't say, how's your poor back, Silas? Oh, you see. They start to sing hymns. Well, wherever did they get that from? Amen. You see. Or you get hold of Stephen and you say, now you're for it. You're going to be stoned to death within 10 minutes. And all that's in him shines out. And it's glorious. Oh, amen. Praise God. You see, it takes that kind of pressure to bring it out of you. And it's when you get in the pressures and the trials that what's inside comes out. And everybody's either thrilled with it and uplifted by it, or they're cast down and depressed by it. Get to know yourself, beloved. Get to know yourself. The church is his body, the fullness of him, but he fills everything that's inside him. Of course, that's what you do, don't you? You fill everything that's inside you. See, the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth everything that's in him. This is the marvelous thing. You're filling everything that's in you, aren't you? That's right. Amen. And this, beloved, is what God wants us to understand. Indeed, if you look into the third chapter, you will find that one of the lost letters of the original writings of the apostles, you mustn't think that the Bible has the complete list of everything, say, that God gave in inspiration. It hasn't. Here's one of the letters that's been lost. In the third chapter and the second letter. The third chapter and the third verse, in the parenthesis, I wrote afore, in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ. And I suppose that might be a brother, if you're a preacher man, this might be an encouragement to you, that God didn't see fit to think that just a few words should be included, only a lot. You see, it was the bigger letter that God had included. That's a marvelous encouragement for a preacher. And so, it's the great mystery of Christ, beloved. Paul understood the mystery of Christ. Do you understand the mystery of Christ? God gave him the revelation of the mystery of Christ. When you think of it, you can think of a man probably about 6 feet tall. I imagine he must have been a marvelous figure of a man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And a man probably about my size, I would think. Not that I'm a marvelous figure of a man. I'm sorry, I ought not to have said that. there he was. And now you think of him. You think of him. By that one, we're told in the same third chapter, if we look in that third chapter, we're told this, that in verse 9, Paul's job was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Think of it. If you could have seen that man, by him God created everything. He was there walking on the earth for everybody to see. Is it really true that by this man, God created everything that's ever been created? You see? And then you go back into the second chapter, and you read this. In verse 10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Well, I never... Really? Is this true? This man? Have I been created in him? What a mystery. Everything created by him. And we've been created in him. Of course, you will know that it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Or, as the Greek has it, there is a new creation. And the great new creation for us is Jesus Christ. We've been created in him, and he is our new creation. We've been newly created in him, and our great life's work, beloved, while we're on this earth, is to explore the new creation. That's our glorious thing in life. Now listen, this will take every moment that you have. This will take all the powers that you have. This will take the entire concentration of all your being and the consecration of all your members. That you are created in Christ to discover the wonder and the fullness of this great creation. Look back into the first chapter. In the first chapter, you read this in Paul's prayer. He says that he's praying that, there's so much here. The eyes of our understanding, let's get at verse 18. Being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him, and so on and so on and so on goes the great story. Raise, set, and as you get to the end of the chapter in verse 22, given. Raise, set, given. Amen. Now, the Lord is telling us something, that between the living of that man on the earth and the hanging of that wonderful one on the cross and the expiry of his spirit, the expiration of his spirit from his body and lying in that grave, that when God raised him from the dead, God wrought something marvelously in Jesus Christ. Now, this is what you've got to understand. Paul says, I'm praying about this. You people have got to come to understand this new and glorious work that God did when he really worked in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. Oh, that's a discovery you've got to make. You've got to understand this and come into it. This great man, he was just a normal, ordinary man. So you would have thought, if you could have handled him and been with him and everything, he was a glorious, wonderful man. But when he died, having shed that blood on the cross and was laid in that tomb, oh, God worked in him. That's your great word there. It's the word, Greek word, energy, or inworking. What he inwrought in Jesus Christ. Now, here is the mystery. Here then is the mystery, beloved. And you've got to understand this mystery. Praise him. You see, it was all settled. If you go back, you will read in the beginning of this first chapter, he says, blessed, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. We're not seeking blessing, praise God. You don't have to seek it, you get it, it's yours. You don't have to seek blessing. That's why you should be so blessed if you say you're not seeking blessing or joy, because you're so blessed there's not another one to seek. That's right. Blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Read your Bible, believe it, whatever else you do, believe your Bible. He has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Amen. He's done it. Praise his wonderful name. And you know what the heavenlies state for us? Do you know what these heavenlies are for us? They're the in Christmas. They're the heavenlies. Oh, praise God. It's the in Christmas. Amen. Oh, he was a heavenly man. He was the Lord from heaven on this earth. I'm in the heavenlies. If you don't know what they are, now you know. It's your glorious position of in Christness, the state of the heavenly man on the earth. Are you a heavenly man on earth, brother? Glory to God, I believe you are. You see, here is the whole revelation. You've got to understand the mystery that a life came down onto this earth and lived on this glorious earth, on this terrible earth, in the midst of sin and wickedness and horror and murder and lust and shame, and spurned it all. Amen. The heavenly man, the heavenly life. Glory be to God. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you ever find Jesus Christ asking his Father for one blessing? Well, he didn't need to. He had them all. That's right. That's what you were told. In the heavenly places, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You see that? Mind you, if you really start believing this, your prayer life will change, or your so-called prayer life. Once you really believe this, you see, you have such a rest from yourself. You have such a rest from yourself. You really believe your favorite text. I'll tell you what it is. All things work together for good to them that love you. You really believe it. You really believe it when you're here. Because you say this oftentimes because in your secret, in your mind, you don't really believe this thing is working for you. Oh, this is terrible. This thing has happened. It's terrible. So you say, never mind. All things work together for good here. You see? You see? And come all the comforters round and say, oh, it's all for good. You know what I'm saying? You see? That's right. If you really believe this, beloved, amen. You've been blessed in every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Now, listen, there's something wonderful about this, you see. You were specially chosen for this. Look at verse 4. You were specially chosen for this. Amen. You read it. Chosenness in Him. Oh, praise God. Chosenness in Him. Chosen for us. Amen. I tell you, how are you getting on with it? How are you bearing up under it? All this weight of blessing. How are you bearing up under it? Oh, praise Him. Chosen to be blessed. Hallelujah. Of course, the greatest blessing is that you're in Him. That's the greatest blessing of all. In Him. And I'll tell you what's wrong in your life. If you're not enjoying this, beloved, you just simply aren't believing Him right. That's what the prayer's about. You've got to believe God according to that mighty working which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him there at His own right hand in the heavenly places. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that. And not stand up and in a sort of a fight into it. There's a sort of a cult going around that you've got to sort of fight your way into all these things. It's the exact reverse. You've got to sit down and enjoy them. It's the exact reverse. You've simply got to sit down, because that's where you will remember is the thing that told you about Jesus Christ, that He raised Him from the dead and set Him down. Then He gave Him to you. That's the order. That's the order of the revelation. He raised Him, He sat Him down, and gave Him to you. And if you'd only sit down, it'd be all right. But something keeps telling you that it'll all collapse if you don't stand up and do something and fight for it. You see, and that's the lie. And then because you keep fighting, some of you come along and say, what you want to do is to learn how to use the blood and claim your position. You see, and you'll believe it. Or somebody will come along and say, now what you want to do is to spend a fortnight fasting. You see. Now sit down. Sit down. Mind you, I can only pass on to you the things I know, but you've got to get a revelation of the mystery of Christ, you see. You get a revelation of the mystery of Christ. Praise His blessed name. And you sit down, and it's all so marvelous, and everything's right. Listen, there are people in this conference, as sure as we're here, that are wondering about the future, and they've got to pray through. They're going to shut themselves off in a caravan somewhere. That's what they're going to do, and they're going to pray through, you see. Well, I tell you, not do anything of the sort. Just sit down, and let God tell you, you see. Say, don't you go and shut yourself off in a caravan. No, I never get tired. No. I never get time. I don't know where people get time for it. You've got to learn to sit down and keep walking. Sit down and just keep walking. Amen. And the Lord will bring you into such abundance and fullness. Do you not see, beloved, that God has done something wonderful? Listen, let's read it, shall we? There's another mystery spoken of here. It says that in the end of verse 7, let's start at the end of verse 6. Let's read it nearly all, shall we? Because I like that last word of verse 6. Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. So now there's another mystery. This great mystery of the will of God. Is God really on the throne? Is He really reigning? Is He really exercising His will? And you look all round, and you see this, and you see that, and something else isn't right, and this situation's wrong, and the devil is rampant, and all sorts of things, and we sing about the dreadful darkness, and all this. So is God really exercising His will? Now the will of God is a mystery. You will only discover the will of God in Christ. The mystery of God's will is bound up with the mystery of Christ. Praise God. And the will of God will be a mystery to you. Let's read another verse. It says this, He's made known unto us, verse 9, the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. Now the will of God is working according to the good pleasure which He's purposed in Himself. Yes, that's right. He has purposed that He's going to have good pleasure. And He's purposed that in Himself. Is He pleased with this? Is He pleased with that? Is He pleased with the other? No. Is He pleased with something that's happening in Korea or China or Russia or England? Is He pleased with floods and famines and warfares and fires and murders? No, He's not pleased with that. He's not pleased with that. He is pleased with the one of whom He said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Now then, he has purposed good pleasure unto and in himself, and his will is working without ceasing day and night, and for this he is overruling in all the contrary states of this world and universe. But in Christ he is well pleased. He's going to have great pleasure in himself. There is no way of explaining the paradoxical things in this world in which we're living. I was giving an illustration the other day along this line in Exeter, and I was saying how that the paradox, it's like having a stick, and you can have a stick as long as this, you see, and you look at this and say, now, that's the end of it, you see. This is it. But if you go to the other end, it's got another end too. And you say, well, now these two things are opposites. That end is opposite from that end, you see. But I say, oh, but they're not opposites. You see, they're joined by the stick in the middle. The stick has two ends. Blessed be the name of the Lord, you see. And so you get some people, one end, they call themselves Calvinists, you see. And there's somebody the other end, they call themselves Arminians. And they're poles apart. No, they're only one pole apart. They're joined, these two ends, by the stick in the middle. So they're both one. They're two ends of one stick. Now, isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so the man over here says, I'm a long way away from you, so I break the stick in the middle and I put the two ends together. So I've still got two ends. There's one end out there and another end out there. And you can't join the two except by the whole stick. The stick is a whole, but it's got two ends. Amen. Now you can't do anything about this but believe it. You see, you pick up a poker if you haven't gone all electric or gas fired. An old poker, there you are, you've got it demonstrated, it's got two ends. Anywhere you go, got two ends. You've got a top and a bottom, a crown and a sole of your feet. But you're one. Here then, beloved, is the blessed secret of the mystery. And until you're in Christ, you cannot see the wholeness of it. But once you're in him, things that make other people fall and stumble have no more effect on you. None at all. Sweetly in him, the mystery of his will is working. He has purposed great pleasure in himself. What a glorious thing this is. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't understand the sobbing, sighing mystery of the world. I don't understand that. But this I understand, that in the mystery of his will, I have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, amen. I know that Christ was the great creator. I know he had to come down on this earth. I know that he had to get involved in all the mystery of God's will. I know this, that he had to deal in these realms and in these things that my mind just reels away from. I can't understand it all. But I know that when that man hung on the cross, and when he took my sin, and when he took my pain and my punishment and my vile self and crucified it, and he poured out his blood and brought me nigh to God, and then by his Spirit brought me into him, I know that God resolved the mystery of the ages for me. Praise his wonderful name. I'm in Christ. I'm in him. What a precious thing this is. Are you in him? Are you in him? Now you are entitled to everything that's in him. That's the whole secret of it. But let's come back into this first chapter again. And this is what we'll read. The end of verse 10. In him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And so we see, beloved, how the Lord brings us into it. You, nor I, nor any man living on this earth will ever know anything about these things until God has brought to a conclusion the first part of his workings on and in your life. The thing that concludes the first stage of God's dealings in your life, that is to bring you into a conscious knowledge of being in Christ, is this word. Verse 13, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the conclusion of the first stage. It's the beginning of the next. Oh, hallelujah. Now, when you're sealed here, this means that the grumbling and the moaning and the groaning goes out of your life. You're already sealed in the blessings. Amen. It's all sealed to you. It means that the sinning has gone out of your life. You're sealed up in Christ. It means that you are in the full virtue and glory of the blessed redemption of Jesus Christ, and your life is now a growth, a moving on into all this wonder of known fullness of Jesus Christ's own inner state as he lived on this earth as a man. Praise him. This is what it's all about. Did you know this? This is the mystery of the Christ. On and on and on into all this glorious fullness of the Lord. You see, God purposed a great purpose. Now, in the beginning, his purposes were not fulfilled in the first creation. This is why we have all this terribleness around us. This is why there are starving millions, warring millions. This is why, beloved, the sin is in the world, and the division, and the dreadfulness. Because God's purpose in the first creation was not fulfilled. But despite that, he's overruling that in the long run, it will all be right. Bless the name of the Lord. But leaving that, we are here at this point that in Jesus Christ, beloved brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, all that God could desire, all that he could require, all that pleased him, was brought to uttermost fulfillment. And you and I, we were chosen in that blessed one. Isn't this a precious thing? Oh, let's look at it. He has chosen us in him, verse 4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, glory. If I said, stand up, every one of you this morning that is conscious that you're blameless in the presence of the Father. Let me see you. Holy and without blame before him in love. Praise God. Chosen us in him. This is what it was all about. And predestination unto this state is only the enjoyment while you're on earth of the bliss of the inward states of Jesus Christ. That's your predestination. Isn't it good that Father predestinated you to come out of your own inward misery and your darkness and your depression and all the lot of it and all your merely humanistic things, all the things that are just you and always have been you, to come into all the things that are him and always have been him and his. But I'll warn you, unless you're prepared to come to total abandonment, unless you're prepared to live unto and only unto this, you'll never have it. Oh, he'll be gracious to you. He's renowned for his grace. Amen. He's famous for his forgiveness. He's marvelous in being compassionate for people. You may read the Gospels. That's why the Gospels are there. That's one of the great reasons why these things are all recorded for us, that we may see how marvelous he was. And, of course, now that he's raised, how marvelously he is. You are not just to be at the receiving end of compassion. You're to be at the motives and the beginnings of it in him. You're not to be at the receiving end of forgiveness. You're to be at the beginning, the starting end of it. Oh, a heart. To know what rises in him that makes him want to forgive. Don't you see? You're to know the state in which it all came. The great creative power and glory. It's to be your native home. It's to be your natural condition. It's to be your God, your Jesus, your life, your all, your beginning, your end. It's to be everything. What a glory thus to be predestinated. What a wonder to be thought of thus by the everlasting Father and loved into being by the grace and blood and glory of the Son. And quickened and made alive in it all by that Holy Spirit. Oh, God. You've been chosen in Jesus Christ. You've not been chosen just to go to heaven. You've not been chosen just to get your sins forgiven. Glory be to God. You've been elect. You've been predestinated. God's made up his mind. He's got a great purpose. He's going to have great pleasure in you. Absolutely, he's going to have great pleasure in you. He's going to have his will in your life. Now, this will explain why some of you were one day living like you were and then something hit you like that. You see? God caught up on you. That's right. And that will explain why some of you, perhaps like me, who was brought up to pray from a little kiddie, one day, instead of just going along to my church and Sunday school and getting into all the works I could get in, good evangelical works and preaching and open air works and tract distributions and singing and I don't know what I couldn't do, one day I came alive in the midst of it all. One day, by the grace of God, I came alive and I stopped being a religious Christian. Oh, I lived. And I didn't live in positional teaching. I didn't live in imputed stuff. I lived in it. I had it. Glory be to God. I didn't leave just believing. I entered into such an experience, my brothers and sisters. Oh. This is what it says in the Bible. He just doesn't grant you an entrance. It says he grants you an abundant entrance. You read Peter. He'll teach you all about this. An abundant entrance. You've been chosen for this. Isn't this a marvelous thing? The fullness of him. He did so want to share this. Of course, your favourite gospel's John, isn't it? It's mine, too. He did so want to share this. And he says, now, I've said this, that your joy may be full. There you are. You see? Ooh, praise God. That stops you getting up and whining, doesn't it? Eh? It's joyful. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you hardly like to believe it. I can see it on your faces. And some of you are still keeping them rigid. You're past masters at the deception. Now come on. Come alive. Yes. Glory be to God. Let's have a look at you. Or perhaps you're thinking it's almost too good to be true. But Jesus said, I am the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. In him you weren't predestined to be damned and bear the weight of your father's guilt or your mother's sin. In him you weren't just to be sort of the child of circumstances and you just happened to come into a lot of genes and hormones along a certain line. God save us from these medical scientists. They'll drive us all into the lunatic asylum. Then train people to be psychiatrists to get us out or keep us out. Praise the name of the Lord. You're here this morning because you were chosen in Jesus Christ, or else you wouldn't be here. That's right. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Glory. Now I want to put the record straight. Somebody came to me last night, I've got a bone to pick with you. I said, what is it? They said, you said about dancing. And you know, I said, oh, I said, if the Lord makes us dance, we'll take all the chairs out and we'll all dance. That's right. Let's get the record straight. Amen. I'm nearly dancing now, can't you see? That's right. Of course, dancing doesn't have to be according to the beat that somebody else sets up. You just glory. Glory be to God. You see, God wants you and I to come into this in its wealth and in its fullness. He's purposed in himself, and mark you, he's working all things after the counsel of his own will for every one of us who are in Christ. There is no deviation. The devil does not take over your life at any point. Oh. Go on, you believe that. You believe that. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this a thrill? See, you won't keep looking over your shoulder now to see there's a dark shadow following you. Oh, beloved, will you believe Jesus Christ? Will you come and live in him? Have you been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? What's the promise? Everything in Christ. And do you know what he said? All the Father has is mine too. Everything in the Father. He says, and you're mine. And you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's what he says. Oh, isn't it glorious? Now, because he chose you, that'll explain a lot, you see. Because if you'd have chosen, you wouldn't have done what happened, you see. But he's chosen. Beloved, let's get this election right. Let's get this predestination right. Let's get this will of God right. Let's get this great purpose of God right. Your choice was in him. That's right. Amen. That was before the foundation of the world. Don't try and work out your will against his will, and it shall get into a bigger mess than ever. But know this, that there came a time, and it's like Paul said to these Ephesians, let's read it together again in case we missed it, because it didn't seem to be important at the time. It says, in verse 13, in whom you trusted after that you heard. That's right. You heard something, and somehow you knew you could trust. That's how it all works. You knew you could trust it. When I heard a little old lady say, you can ask God for a new clean heart and ask him to fill you with the Spirit. As soon as I heard it, I knew that was the truth. I'd never heard it before. As soon as I heard it, I knew I could trust that. You see? You all know what you can trust. And you just trust. Praise God. And for your trustfulness, God will do everything. Your trustfulness. Lord, I trust you. You prepared to trust him? Absolutely trust him. Right to the last degree. Are you prepared to trust him? Are you prepared to trust him with your soul? Not just in one wonderful moment in a meeting, but with a cool, calculated look into the future. I trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. Now, trust ultimately lies at the point where you find it in Jesus Christ. Where do you find it in Jesus Christ? You can find it in ever so many places, but in Gethsemane you find it, thy will be done, Father. Amen. You see? And then on the cross, in the very moment of departure, into thy hand I commit my spirit. This man bowed his head and committed his spirit to his Father. He'd never died before. It was unknown to him. He was the last. Utter trust. Are you prepared to utterly trust him? God will seal you. Seal you if you'll utterly trust him. Stop trying to think anything out. Stop thinking you've got to have a reasonable explanation to give to any man. Some of the things now which I preach that perhaps might be called reasonable explanations, I didn't know when I committed. I committed like someone who didn't know anything.
Lot couldn't see him away in the dark.
You see, there comes that blessed moment when a man scoops up himself, aided in the very act by the quickening Spirit. He brings in all that he is and all that he has. And he, Lord, you. It isn't a struggle. I tell you, it's accompanied by me then, just when I, in me then, by this, a sinking away of everything. Lord, a dissolving into strengthlessness and a raising in power. A coming to an end and a beginning. Amen. That's right. That's what it is. Into thy hand I commend my spirit, Lord. God will seal you. God will seal this whole thing in your experience if you'll trust him. You're already blessed in every spiritual blessing that God knows and has or can give in Christ Jesus. Some of them you haven't tasted yet, because as we were thinking last night, you've got to grow up into them. You've got to grow up into him. See? Are you getting it? That's right. It's all right, just grow. Just go on. And as you go, the blessings that surround you. This is what ensures the future. This is what makes everything safe. This is that which brings you to a place where you don't take one thought for tomorrow. Because tomorrow is another today. As you love and live and trust and abandon unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you prepared to believe that? Are you sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? God got to seal it with you. Got to seal it with you. Amen. When the blessed Holy Ghost comes and takes over and fills you and say, that's settled. Praise God. That's settled. That's it. Amen. Amen. And as it is God's signature at the end of one phrase, like you put your signature at the end of a letter, and that lot finished, so also is it the beginning. It's at the head of the letter. Now we're going to start again. Dear, or it might put, my dearest, oh no, my dearly beloved, blank, blank. And off goes the letter, whatever your name. See? It's starting. Another fresh and wonderful page, stage, page in your life. Yeah? Come on, let's pray.